Day in and day out, this platform is dedicated to being the platform of truth, exposure, and accountability. And family, I would be lying if I told you that today I wasn't pissed off on this fifth day of April, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. So I was swatted last night. Someone called the police and said that they were Stu Peters. Somehow obtained and then gave my home address and then claimed, while pretending to be me, that I was holding someone hostage and planning to shoot them. The police responded by contacting negotiators and then converging on my home and calling me outside. I could have easily been killed. My children were home and could have easily been killed. And that was the purpose of this entire exercise. That's why people do swattings. They're trying to get a person that they don't like killed by the cops. That's not being hyperbolic or over-exaggerating the situation. I'm not the first person that this has happened to. Someone swatted podcaster Tim Pool in the middle of a show last January. Then they did it a week later. So far this year, as a matter of fact, Pool has been swatted five separate times. Again, a more accurate way to describe this is Tim Pool has been targeted for attempted murder five times this year. And my whole family were targeted for attempted murder yesterday. That's the point of this. You don't swat someone as a prank or to annoy them. It's trying to get the police to kill someone for you. Again, I'm not exaggerating. This has happened. In 2017, some idiots were arguing over a game of Call of Duty. So one of them tried to swat the other. He had the wrong address, though. So a totally unrelated person was gunned down by the cops. 2 years later, the man's niece, whom he had raised, who had witnessed the shooting directly, committed suicide. In 2020, a man died of a heart attack from fright after he was swatted by people who wanted to intimidate him into handing over his Twitter handle. No joke. Someone died. Someone was gunned down by the cops over a Twitter handle. So yeah, someone tried to kill me. And as of right now, this minute, we don't know who did it yet, but I will find out. I'm not expecting the police to achieve much. I'm just waiting for them to tell me that the number wasn't traceable and magically they'll be out of leads, which is complete BS, of course, for certain. A lot of you know, some of you might not, that for 18 years, my job was to track people who did not want to be found, by the way, who used unknown numbers and burner cell phones. The technology and resources are available to catch these people. But to do that, of course, the authorities would have to care as much about stopping attempted murder as they care about hunting down people who stood on the Capitol steps for a few minutes on January 6th. We know how it really is. And even if we don't know who did it yet, we do know why they did it. It's because of what we say on this program. On this program, we aren't intimidated from saying exactly what's going on in America and who's responsible. And I'll be clear. Let me be absolutely crystal clear about something. I will not be intimidated. You picked the wrong guy. I'm not that guy. I know the best lawyers and investigators in this country, and we're going to do everything that we can to get this scumbag's identity and hold him accountable. And rest assured, I will insist and see this through and make sure that it happens. But just as importantly as that, we're not changing anything about this show because some sick psychopath thinks it's worth killing me to stop it. The regime that we live under is built on nothing but lies. Lies about COVID, lies about the border, lies about our wars overseas, lies about police racism, lies about what it means to be a male and a female. A system built on so many lies cannot survive unless it suppresses the truth. So that's what they do. They banned the truth from Twitter. They concoct excuses to send truth tellers to prison. And if they have to, they'll try and stop the truth by killing it. I would not be one bit surprised if I learn, when I learn the identity of the person behind this swatting, that I learn it was concocted by the feds. So, speaking of keeping the system propped up with lies, we're watching the unfolding drama with Congressman Madison Cawthorn, who a few days ago started to expose the toxic network of drugs and sex and blackmail at the heart of DC. So now Kevin McCarthy is going around trying to do damage control. Oh, he didn't really see people doing cocaine. He thought he maybe saw a staffer in a parking garage do something a whole football field away. And oh, he also doesn't really know what cocaine looks like. Does McCarthy expect us to believe any of that? That's not what Cawthorn said at all. And he wasn't vague about what he said. So either Cawthorn was just completely lying, in which case he should resign right now for abusing our trust, or he should ignore McCarthy right now and start naming names. And we won't be a bit surprised if one of those names is Kevin McCarthy himself. There have always been mountains of rumors in DC about McCarthy's sex affairs, so why wouldn't he be involved in drugs and even worse, depravity as well? It would certainly explain how he got to the top of the Republican Party, despite otherwise being a spineless, useless, neutered, feckless coward that nobody likes. Maybe that's the deal that he made. McCarthy does the bidding of big pharma and big business. He ignores the border and the opioid epidemic and the Pfizer fraud. And he keeps the rest of the GOP in line. And in return, they cover up for him and let him become a powerful person when he's otherwise completely feckless and worthless. So I'm going to say a prayer tonight. As a matter of fact, let's all say a brief prayer right now to give Madison Cawthorn the courage to say what's really going on. I think it would be fascinating to learn, actually. Roger Stone also knows what it's like to be targeted for saying the wrong things. He basically got swatted on national TV when the FBI went to his house before dawn with a CNN crew in tow to arrest him over absolutely nothing. And Roger Stone joins us now. Roger, thank you for being here. I'm sorry I'm just a little bit teed up.
Stu, if you want this broadcast to be successful, you got to stop mincing words. You got to come right out and say what you think. Boy, brother, you are a truth teller, which is why they're so desperate to shut you down. It's why I like your program so much.
What do you think's really think going on here with this Madison Cawthorn, Kevin McCarthy ordeal?
Yeah, well, I think I'm in a unique position to comment on this because for 41 years, I was a Washington elite. I was a partner in one of the hottest political consulting and lobbying firms. It was a lifetime ago, but I can tell you firsthand that everything Madison Cawthorn says is true. There is rampant drug use. There is rampant sexual deviance. There are orgies in Washington, D.C. Why can I now say this? Because I'm redeemed in Christ. That's why. So in all the stories you see in Twitter that say, cocaine and orgy expert Roger Stone confirms Madison. Well, but they don't mention the fact that I can now speak truth to power. That was a lifetime ago. Only because I redeemed myself in Christ am I here today. Only because by the grace of God did I have a situation in which Donald Trump got the courage and the strength in an election year to thwart his political enemies and give me a full unconditional presidential pardon. But I have been to Washington. I would say the focus should be on those who are so anxious to shut Madison Cawthorn up, because they don't want their names to be mentioned. But for anyone who believes that this kind of deviance doesn't happen in Washington, in Hollywood, in New York, in Malibu, in Beverly Hills, in all of the fashionable places, you're out of your mind. It is not the exception, it is the norm. And what's particularly odious is the way that Kevin McCarthy seeks to speak for Cawthorn. Let Cawthorn speak for himself. Don't have a meeting with him out and then mischaracterize what he said. I had an exchange with Madison. He tells me he has not retracted a thing. He has not backed off an iota, and he shouldn't, because he's the guy telling the truth.
So a lot of people are going to say this, Roger. They're going to say, I don't really care what these people do on their own private time. They're sent there to represent us. To those people, you say what?
What about the blackmail involved? In other words, Oh, how are you going to vote on that bill? Are you going to vote for Judge Jackson? Oh, you're thinking about not voting for her. Well, how about these pictures of you? How are you going to explain that? Does anyone not understand that the entire point of the Epstein scandal was collecting dirt to blackmail decision makers of both parties, of globally elite, powerful people, so that they could be blackmailed both financially and in terms of public policy matters? So it's not just fun and games. This is not just the recreation of the ruling elite. This is a serious problem that is rampant in Washington. I know. I went to these parties. I saw what was happening. It was prior to my redemption in Christ. I have no regrets about it other than to say it's behind me. And if Satan wishes to tempt me in the future, he's going to get turned down.
Amen.
But it's amazing to me that all of the coverage which attacks me for standing up for Cawthorn, none of it mentions my point of view and the fact that I now can speak the truth because I'm a different person through Christ than I was then.
It's so obvious what they're doing, the media running cover for the establishment, these fossils in this uniparty government that have allowed all of this corruption and death and murder to happen in this country at the hands of these bioweapon jabs, among other things. We know exactly what's going on. And what's happening here is that the lobbyists are the most powerful people in Washington, aren't they? And they're running cover for these lobbyists because those lobbyists are throwing these parties.
If you have money, anything whatsoever can be purchased in Washington, D.C., legislatively and politically. But you really hit it on the head with Kevin McCarthy. And here's the key point for people to understand. Winning a Republican majority in the House, in the Senate, in the next elections will change absolutely nothing unless we elect a subset of Republicans in both the House and the Senate willing to say no. It could be 10, 12, maybe as many as 20 members in the House. You only need two or three in the Senate, and you will run the Senate because Kevin McCarthy won't become Speaker, because Mitch McConnell won't be able to go to the bathroom without three members of his caucus agreeing. You can steer the train in both houses and have real change, but just a Republican victory will not do the trick. You have to seek out men and women running for Congress, running for the Senate, who are not part of the swamp and not susceptible to the swamp's charms once they get there.
So part of the 2016 agenda, a couple things that I can just mention off the top of my head, was lock her up. Hillary Clinton was supposed to be indicted, investigated, special counsel appointed. She was supposed to be locked up. She's still running around as a free woman. We were supposed to get a wall. We didn't get a wall. Was this bribery part of that, slow walking the president's agenda?
I think that the president accomplished an enormous amount considering that he had secretly the implacable opposition of both the Republicans and the Democrats. Look, nobody loves the president more than I do. I want him to run as way back as 1988. But he showed up in Washington and he misunderstood the dynamics. He thought there were the Republicans, they were for him. There were the Democrats, they were against him. He thought people would rally around him in the Republican Party, as they did around Ronald Reagan, the last outsider we elected president. And he never understood that half the Republicans wanted him gone, that he was bad for business, that he threatened the status quo and all the cozy little arrangements they had with Democrats.
But they did the same thing to Reagan, actually. They got a hold of him, too. He gave us unfettered illegal immigration amnesty. He basically ruined his home state of California through that. So obviously they got their claws into him as well in the plan for the Great Replacement. Don't you agree?
Well, no president is perfect. He also restored respect for America around the world. He rebuilt the muscle of our military, which had been allowed to atrophy under Carter. He gave us conservative appointments to the Supreme Court and to the federal courts. No president is perfect, but on balance, the Heritage Foundation report, and they are an establishment, but a conservative operation, analyzing the presidencies of both Trump and Reagan, conclude that Trump got more done in terms of conservative philosophy and conservative policy than even the great Ronald Reagan. No president is perfect. But what's amazing about Trump is how much he got done given the traitorous quislings that he hired in some key positions, mostly, I think, at the behest of his son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
Yeah, personnel is policy, apparently. And a lot of those things, I agree with you 100%. It perplexes me. It confuses me. And they're still around at Mar-a-Lago infiltrating the president there. This is my prediction, and I just want to throw this out there, okay? And this could sound as tinfoil hat as you want it to, but my prediction is that Donald Trump is going to announce that he's running for president in 2024. I think that's imminent. I think that's coming. Do you agree with that?
I think it is more likely than not. I don't think it would be wise to make a decision before the 2022 election.
So assuming that he does, it's been my prediction that if he's even contested, he'll obviously smash in the primaries. He'll get the nomination, right? Do you agree with that?
He could not be stopped for the nomination if he wants it.
Once Absolutely. He secures the nomination, it's my prediction that the Southern District of New York is going to indict him on some fraudulent tax crap that they have pulled out of their you-know-where and that they have completely made up. Or they're going to follow through with this January 6th committee, this sham. Those people are criminals and traitors to this country. And they're going to try to indict him or his family or both on all of that. They're going to try to lock this guy up and throw away the key to make an example out of him so that none of these other outsiders, as you mentioned, Ronald Reagan and, of course, Donald Trump, are ever inspired to run for political office again. They want to make sure that the swamp reigns and that only the fossil establishment, deep state approved candidates get their way there as the selection versus election process continues. And then, by the way, that could potentially start a kinetic civil war in this country. Imminent war with Russia is baked in already. There's a war on COVID. There's a war on disinformation. We could have simultaneous wars going on, at which point, by congressional edict, one could say, hey, distractions. Elections are nothing but a distraction. We're going to do away with them and then, bang, usher in full communism. Shut down the internet, by the way, which you'll only be able to regain access to if you show your QR code when you've received 3, 4, 5, 6 jabs or one every week and you're watering your houseplants with vaccine. Maybe even open your refrigerator at that point. I mean, that might be going over the top or extended years down the road, but I mean, this is plausible, isn't it?
I don't think you're too far off here. First of all, you're absolutely right about one thing. They're desperate not to face Donald Trump in the polls again. So they seek to disqualify him in any way they can. If that is an indictment out of January 6th, which would be ludicrous, so be it. If it is something they cook up in New York out of nothing, although one major investigation has already fallen apart for lack of evidence, but they would like very much to disqualify him because they lay awake at night reliving the 2016 election and they still can't get over it, never mind 2020. And then secondarily, I think it's entirely possible that we have, oh my goodness, another pandemic that starts in September and that says, therefore, we can only have mail-in voting in the next election. We know where that leads you, don't we?
Are people going to buy it?
Well, of course, when you control most of the mainstream media, you have a great platform from which to sell it. I mean, I think what we've seen over and over again is initially people buy the fake narrative put out by the Democrat corporate media, Silicon Valley, a cabal. Over time, when the bodies start to pile up, when the reality hits home and people actually know, wait a minute, I had a friend who was perfectly healthy, and then he got the COVID-19 vaccination, boom, next thing you know, he's got cancer. Too many people know too many people who have had side effects from this unsafe and ineffective vaccination. So ultimately, the people do wake up, but it takes time.
Yeah, I haven't been able to ask the president specifically why he continues to push these death jabs. If when he agrees to come on the program, obviously that'll be one of the questions that I'm going to ask him. He more than likely knows that, which is probably why the absence and appearance on this program. But aside from that, Roger,
I'm anxious to ask Governor DeSantis the same question, why he was pushing the vaccination.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Did a 180 on that. But aside from that, Roger, I largely President Trump, we have to thank for where we are right now. The Great Awakening is not always comfortable, but he called all of this stuff out. I mean, he talked like you and I talk. He represented the majority of Americans. He spoke like a non-politician. It's exactly who we need running this country. So I have to ask the question, if not Trump, if he gets indicted, if he gets locked up, who cares? Who knows what reason? Who then? Who is in this country right now that you could see as a presidential candidate?
There is an enormous void because the grassroots of this Republican Party belong to Trump. When you see all these mainstream media stories, and there's a ton of them, Republican Party leaders don't want to talk about election integrity anymore. They don't want to talk about the outcome of the last election anymore. Only Trump wants to talk about that. That is entirely untrue. I mean, I'm looking at polling in Nevada, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Oklahoma, just to show you that it's diverse, California. And in every one of those states, and therefore I conclude everywhere in the country, election integrity is still the number one issue on the minds of Republicans. Now, trust me, when they go to the gas pump, it only reminds them how angry they are that the last election was stolen. Never mind the gas prices themselves. And so there is Trump. And then there's a group of pretenders who try to utilize Trump-like rhetoric, but who are, in fact, not one of us. Let's take a perfect example. Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo was the Secretary of State and the director of the CIA under Donald Trump.
An admitted liar.
Mike Pompeo is the man who laid the groundwork for the Russian collusion hoax.
Yes.
He's the guy who said Julian Assange was a foreign state actor and actually had a plot to assassinate Assange in London.
Pompeo's a liar, admitted liar. He's the bag man. He's a bag boy. He's a criminal. He's a traitor, and he should be locked up.
But he would have you believe, if you read his social media, where, by the way, you notice that he's not banned anyplace.
Of course not. He's a fed.
He sounds exactly like Mr. America First. It's all rhetoric. But I give you that example. There are others who will step forward, who will try to sound like Trump, try to act like Trump. But there is only one Trump. I came to the conclusion some time ago that not only should he run, but he actually must run. He's the only one who can hold our coalition together. Now, I don't mean to say that he's perfect, nor do I mean to say that he's
nobody is. Nobody is. Nobody's expecting perfection.
But he accomplished far more than anyone could possibly have imagined. And now I think he has a much better idea of who the bad guys are. I think a lot of the mistakes of the first term would not be repeated in the second.
I'm running out of time, but I got to have you answer this question. Okay. If he recognizes what the mistakes are, then why are these same people still surrounding him at Mar-a-Lago? Jared Kushner, he's golfing with Lindsey Graham. He's meeting with the Turtle Lord, Mitch McConnell. This is ridiculous. I mean, not to mention the White House leaker who was ousted, Walsh, Katie Walsh. She's right back there again.
Yeah, that is questionable. On the other hand, in some cases, I believe that he's following the adage that you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. In other instances, it's hard to understand. On a Tuesday, we learned that on January 6th, Lindsey Graham was calling the White House in a lavender rage, demanding that Trump be 25th amendmented. And 4 nights later, he's dining at Mar-a-Lago. I've seen the photos. I have to assume that that duplicitous little weasel is being kept close so Trump can keep an eye on him. Then this week, he came out against Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. That's for the rubes back home who don't understand who he is. So in my opinion, Lindsey Graham is the number one rhino in the country, maybe the most dangerous guy inside the Republican Party.
There's a lot of them to choose from. Kevin McCarthy is at the top of the list, too, as he and Nancy Pelosi, as their California criminals, have worked out their little backroom deals. I'm going to figuratively hand you the gavel. Yeah, you'll look like you're in power, but really Pelosi's still pulling the strings, and whoever controls all these people through, by the way, the inflation of bribery and materials and blackmail set up by these Epstein-like orgies and probably with underage people. A lot of people are going to be in a lot of trouble in a just world, which we need somebody like a Donald Trump to come in and say, put the hammer down. Roger Stone, God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Stu. God bless you and keep speaking the truth.
The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by StepOnSocks.com. Founded by patriots, high-quality all-cotton socks, real silver, and flags. Use promo code STU when you visit StepOnSocks.com/Stu.
Love the hard-hitting truth delivered daily by The Stu Peters Show? Consider becoming a Red Voice Media premium member. Extended sit-down interviews, weekly in-depth reports, ad-free. Premium episodes, exclusive content on redvoicemedia.com/premium. Defeat the lying globalists. Support real independent journalism. Full access to The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, Shots Fired with Deanne Lorraine, Marie Z Uncensored, and The Military-Focused Richard Leonard Show. All this and more exclusively on redvoicemedia.com/premium. Join today.
Pastor Artur Pavlovsky has lost count of the number of criminal charges that have been brought against him. He's committed no actual crimes, of course. His crime is resisting Fidel Trudeau's mandate tyranny and keeping his church open for believers to come in and worship God. Anyway, Pastor Artur just got released from jail after 51 days of incarceration. But just like the apostles 2,000 years ago, he isn't intimidated. He says that he will continue to fight against tyranny, and he urges his followers to do the same, because if they stay united, they far outnumber any police or army that Fidel Trudeau can throw at him. By the grace of God, prayers have been answered, and that allows Pastor Artur to join us now. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for standing with me. I first of all, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for all the prayers, all the support. I felt that when I was in solitary confinement, that's what kept me going, knowing that there are people out there that God is using to expose this tyranny. So I want to thank you for that. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, the church has largely acquiesced to evil, sadly. Pastors have preached love your neighbor lies from the pulpit, encouraging masking, social distancing, compliance, even the bioweapon jab. You haven't. So this has set you apart, leaving you open and separated from the majority of the flock. Unfortunately, you're like an anomaly. Do you think that because of that, the overall weak stance or complete lack thereof of a stance that the church has taken has allowed you to be more easily targeted?
Well, for sure. Now imagine if all the pastors, clergymen, and churchgoers would stand together. I mean, we are unbelievable power. They would not be able to do this to me and others like me if the church was united. But you know, the never-ending story, divide and conquer, right? So they have been dividing us and they're conquering us. Actually, let me suggest something to you. We have been conquered. God is allowing the enemy to conquer us for time being, to separate the real deal from the fake, the goats from the sheep from the wolves. He's purifying his church. You see, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were given an option to bow before the golden image, to wear a muzzle or to a social distance and shut their churches, they were sticking out like sore thumbs. They were easy target, and off they went to the fire. But let me say something to you. In the fire, God deals with your enemies. In the fire, Jesus shows up to set you free. In the fire, you have a testimony. In the fire is your promotion. In the fire, Jesus shows up and has a coffee with you. So I want to encourage everyone to go to the fire, because that's where your answer is. That's where God deals with your enemies. I think the church missed that part. I think the church is not reading the same Bible I am reading. From the very beginning to the very end, there was a number of people that were resisting evil mandates, evil tyrannical commandments of men in order to keep the commandments of God. The chapter 4, book of Acts, you be the judges whom we are to obey, you or God. Chapter 5, we must obey God rather than men. I think we're living again in a book of Acts, and people have to make a choice. Either they will bow before men or they will keep bowing before the living God.
Do you think any of the cops that were there to arrest you regretted being there to do that? Do you think that they recognized that they were acting as Satan's minions?
Some for sure. I had even jailers coming to me privately apologizing for what was happening to me. They even came to me and they said, it's administration. It's coming from the politicians to treat you in this way. When they put me in a metal box, they were told that the administration's, the head, the director was telling them to do this cruelty.
So what did you say to them? I mean, because they're following evil orders. They don't have to do that. They can throw their gun and badge down and walk away from it and repent. I mean, it sounds like a cheap cop-out to me. I'm just following orders. Where have we heard that before?
Yes, exactly. And that's what I said. One jailer comes to me and says, I have a heart and I know what they're doing is wrong. What would you do if you were in my shoes? And I looked into his eyes and I said, I would quit. I would never participate in this great evil. You have a choice. You can quit. You can say, I will not participate in this evil. That's our choice. By saying, I'm just following orders, you have become part of the beast that is doing this to us. And now imagine if every good person would walk away and stop participating in this, they would absolutely have no power to continue to do this to us.
So obviously you were preaching the gospel, the word of God, while you were locked up, incarcerated, but you were only locked up physically. And now they have you, from what I understand, locked up in your own home. You're still on house arrest. You cannot leave the confines of your home, which has now become your new prison, 24 hours a day.
That's right. They have released me from prison because of international pushback. There were tens of thousands of people that are calling the premier, Jason Kenney, this liar, manipulator, turncoat, traitor to Canada. And finally, they were sick and tired of that. So they released me from prison into a new prison, my home. So my conditions are better. but I'm not allowed to leave my house. If I step out of my house on the sidewalk, I will be immediately arrested. And I was told multiple times that they will be waiting for me to re-arrest me. So once a week, I am allowed to go to a church. And then after the church service, immediately I have to go back home. And it's unbelievable. So the fight continues. I have over a dozen criminal charges still pending, about four or five court trials coming up.
You know, I'm picturing this. You said that they'd be waiting for you. That means that there are people that will actually follow these orders. And we have to pray for them, because the only thing that can save these tyrannical communists from hell is God. These demonically inspired oligarchs need to repent and walk away from this evil agenda, or they'll be judged. I mean, I've read about hell, Pastor. It's not a place that I would want anybody to go. And I mean anyone. Unfortunately, a lot of pastors don't teach about hell. So if you could address the enemy and issue a warning, what would you tell them about hell?
Well, I would say that, listen, you just got by a few minutes on this side of eternity. Like my wife says, you know, is those 5 minutes of fame or money or whatever, you know, you're going for worth, you know, jeopardizing your soul? I mean, hell is a real place. It's a terrible place. And you are going to die. I mean, every single day we're closer to the departure. Is this worth it? Is your badge $50,000 a year or $60,000 a year salary? Is that worth losing your soul? I don't think so. I prefer to be a poor pastor. I prefer to be a prisoner in my own house, but obeying the word of God, than to become a prince with palaces all over the world and end up in hell. Because I'm telling you, it's just a short time on this side of eternity. And that is eternity. Eternity is a big time with God, and it's not worth it. It's chasing after the wind. I'm telling you, you're going to lose your soul and you're going to regret it.
The very beginning of this program, of this show, it's inception, its existence, not here today. I was approached with millions of dollars, 1,600 radio stations, immediate fame, instant cash, lavish lifestyle, really tempting, of course, as the enemy knew exactly what God was going to turn this thing into, or was witnessing what he was, because the enemy doesn't know the future, only God does. But he was witnessing what God was doing, the work that he was doing with this program. And it was difficult, but we turned it away. I'm so happy that I did. And we are self-funded. We're following Jesus. I mean, that's what we're told to do. And a good friend of mine explains it as the grains of sand, what you were talking about. I mean, we're looking at one grain of sand here on earth versus an eternity, which is all of the grains of sand, both above and below the water. The Bible tells us about the end times, and it's not hard to draw the parallels when you take a look around. Are we there?
Well, you know, here is what I believe is happening. I think that God was not pleased with us as a church. And I think what he allowed the Nebuchadnezzar's to shake us, to what he's doing around the world right now. He's shaking. He's separating the real deal from the fake, the sheep from the goats, and the sheep from the wolves. I think this is an exciting time that God has allowed us to be alive. We are seeing the fulfillment of God's promises in front of our eyes. It's a very exciting time. It's a difficult time sometimes, but I'm telling you, I would not change what is happening. I always pray, God, not my will, but thy will. I want to be in the middle of God's will in my life. And you see, I have been offered millions of dollars just recently. If I would quit, I would be greatly rewarded. When I was in prison, the Crown Prosecutor offered me a deal. He says, you can go home, just plead to one charge and all the other charges will disappear. So the enemy is always working the same way. And I'm sticking with the entire Sahara, if you will, all the sand, then just picking up the one grain that maybe looks very appealing at this moment. But our eyes have to be focused on the future. Our eyes have to be focused on the promises of God.
Who offered you money to walk away?
City Hall. They gave me $2 million. So they offered me $2 million and a land to build my church if I would quit feeding the homeless and preaching on the streets. And I remember that conversation. I said to them, listen, that's very appealing. I need the money. You know I need the funds. However, I'm keeping my Jesus. You can keep your money. And then they filed another court case.
In your position, you have so many people that, you know, that need to hear what you have to say, whether it's the police or the Crown Prosecutors or, you know, your congregation, your parishioners, people who are seeking Jesus, people who Jesus loves and found him. Of all of those people, if you could address any group, what would you say right now and to whom?
I would say to everyone, you know, first of all, we have to understand that there is a price that has to be paid for doing good. It costs the Father his Son. It costs the Son his own life, his own blood. There is a price that we all have to pay for doing the right thing. And I would say it's all worth it. And my message to the church would be stand tall. The whole world is watching us. They're watching and they're looking for hope. When I was in prison, the inmates would come to me and they were drawn to me because they said, we see that you have hope. The light has come to the darkness. So the world is desperately looking for the church. And also the people that are going crazy now, the people that are suicidal, turning into drugs, there is hope out there. There is truth out there. You can be set free. So my message is very simple. Jesus is the answer to all of your problems. You may not understand him. I get that. You may not know what he wants in your life, but I'm telling you, when you turn yourself into the hands of the living God, he is going to he's going to fix your problems. He's going to lead you every single day, and you will become the happiest man on earth.
And he doesn't promise that you're going to be super happy and have a car, or that you're going to stay married, or that you're going to, you know, find the perfect this or that, or that you're going to have a bunch of money. He doesn't promise that you're going to be comfortable. Many times walking with Jesus is one of the most uncomfortable things that you can do when you're here under Satan's dominion, as God has allowed God with the little g to be God with the little g here on earth. So what are you willing to sacrifice is the big question. Pastor Artur Pavlovsky, thank you so much for being here. God bless you. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Man, what an inspiration he is. I could talk to Pastor Artur Pavlovsky all day long. I have endless questions that I would love to ask him. Just pick his brain. Because I recognize him as teaching the Bible, standing with Jesus, allowing God to work through him. And sadly, that makes him an anomaly. It puts him on an island, along with the few other churches that are standing strong in these times. I didn't want to put him on the spot and ask him how we could support him, but guess what? I know. So if you'd like to support Pastor Artur Pavlovsky and his church and his message, go to streetchurch.ca. Again, streetchurch.ca. And I have another warning for you. Inflation and tax hikes are coming. They are imminent. Tax hikes are coming. You're going to be paying out the wazoo. Inflation, we're looking at it already. Superinflation is imminent, and they are Biden's only way out of this $30 trillion federal debt. That's what Obama is going to do. We know who's pulling the strings here. So if you have 50 grand or more in your IRA, in your 401k, or in your savings, and you think that they're not coming for that money, sadly, you are mistaken. It is at imminent risk. Protect your money. Learn how to protect it with physical gold and silver. Call 855-647-1372. Write that number down. Call 855-647-1372 to get your free gold IRA kit. Call 855-647-1372. My good friends over at Gold Co. will give you up to $15,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. Gold Co. has already helped thousands of Americans to protect their retirement against inflation and tax hikes, so don't wait anymore. Call them right now, 855-647-1372 for Gold Co.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Lindell, and my employees and I want to thank each and every one of you for all your support during these times. They've canceled culture. They've canceled our box stores, our shopping channels. Now they've even tried to debank me. And it's all because they want our voice canceled. Buying today also helps support Stu Peters' show, which is one of the best podcasts, best shows you're ever going to watch, because he speaks out like it is. He tells the news. What a concept. Well, today I'm going to pass the savings on to you. You get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99. And if you order today, I'm going to give you my book free. By the way, my book, this is the American dream. This is what it is. This is what we're all fighting for. This is what we're not going to give up on. We're not going to lose our freedoms. You use promo code STU. You guys, this is the best price in history because of your great support. Thank you all, and God bless.
Kurt Schuster is a commercial airline pilot, but he's not just your everyday run-of-the-mill rookie. Kurt Schuster has an extensive flight safety-related background. Schuster is a retired United States Air Force instructor and evaluator pilot with a focus on safety and mishap investigation. Schuster's been at JetBlue for 20 years, 18 of which have been spent as a captain. Captain Schuster has been on JetBlue's accident investigation team for 15 years and has been trained in crew resource management facilitation and NTSB trained in fatigue-related mishap investigation. Well, thanks to tyrannical bioweapon jab and mask mandates, pilots are being injured and dying at the controls of aircraft, as we have accurately reported on this program. Many pilots are becoming hypoxic during flights thanks to these stupid masks, putting their lives and the lives of you and your traveling family in grave danger. So now he and nine others are banding together and suing the CDC in an historical action. And due to his training and experience, we deem Captain Schuster to be abundantly qualified to speak on the dangers of flying with jabbed and masked pilots. He joins us now. Captain Schuster, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Stu. Thank you.
So many people are focused on jabbed pilots, and we do recognize that as a grave danger, an imminent concern for traveling people and for the pilots and their lives and their safety, of course. But a lot of people are not focused on this mask thing. Why is this correct, so dangerous?
Okay, from what I believe and from what my background tells me in the multiple studies that I've read over the years, whatnot, masks cause a prolonged induced hypoxia, which I think we've talked about before, people have heard before. It reduces your blood oxygen concentration levels. So it's like the equivalent, say, maybe of having a beer. And I know that's not what we want to do before we go fly, but when we reduce our oxygen levels, when you have reduced oxygen, it creates symptoms of confusion, of reduced reaction times, and poor decision-making skills. And that's all easily found throughout the internet, especially when you just look for pilot-induced hypoxia.
Now, we have been focused on kids with these masks because of the same dangers. You inhibit the oxygen intake and force kids to rebreathe what their bodies are designed to exhale and rid of, these poisons that come out of our body. Not a good thing, not to mention the psychological detriment that's going to be lifelong lasting for these kids. Largely, correct, the mask mandates have seemed to go away in the public purview, you know, the schools and the government workers and things like that. In an aircraft, it's my understanding that it's nearly impossible to contract anything, even real viruses, not even mentioning this fake COVID-19. Why is this still ongoing in aircraft? Where is this coming from? Make some sense of all of this for me.
We're trying to make sense of it for ourselves as well there, Stu. It's from what I believe, again, this is just my opinion. It's not opinion of the company that I work for or the government. From my opinion, and I think it is still a sort of a power grab or whatnot. I after all the studies that have come out, Dr. Fauci in the past stating how masks are not effective, but now they are effective.
So who's trying to grab the power, though? Who is it? Who's really forcing this to happen?
I don't know. There's a lot of politics involved, a lot of money involved, I believe. Initially, it might have been for the good, or because we weren't sure of how well or what the coronavirus was all about. As we've learned and progressed, it's time to move on. We've learned ways to deal with it and better protect ourselves. And obviously, masks are not one of them. And I'm not sure who is the one trying to grab this power.
Yeah, and with that being unknown, this historical action, this lawsuit, you and nine others have banded together. You're suing. You're naming the CDC. Why them?
Oh, because the CDC is the origination of this. They're the ones who put down stating, hey, you have to impose these sanctions or these mandates onto your employees and your customers. And so these private companies get this mandate forced down to them saying, hey, we have to abide by these or else. And they're not too sure what the response is going to be. So again, they force it onto us. And as we educate ourselves over time on the true facts behind this, we say, like, wait a minute, time out. This is not right. This is not safe. And they don't have the authority to force this upon us.
We have talked about airlines. We have dealt with narcissistic people. We have talked about CEOs, cross-dressing freaks that run some of these companies. We've talked about airlines flying illegal aliens into the interior of our country and resettling them. They have manila envelopes full of cash. I mean, there's a lot of eyes on the airlines right now who continue to get federal taxpayer dollars to get bailed out time after time after time. What if the general public just says, you know what, we've had enough of this. We're not flying anymore until you unmask these pilots.
Yeah, that's one of the last things the companies and the pilot unions and whatnot want is for people not to for people to stop flying. So I think that might be another reason why they have been going on with the masks to give, I guess, people confidence in their safety.
Can I ask you about the conversation amid pilots, among pilots? What's the conversations like in the cockpits of these planes? Are pilots largely just going along with this, saying, yeah, we should be masking and doing the right thing? Or are people pissed off and they realize that this is hypocrisy?
Yeah, I can't speak for every pilot, but the ones that I've spoke to, I would say a good majority are pretty much done with it. And we, and again, as our group, as we get out there, we try to educate the reasons why we are suing the CDC and the reasons for me, primarily safety. And we talk to them about it and they come to understand like, yeah, I guess we're getting over this. And there's other ways to protect ourselves.
Yeah. We're not only just getting over it, but we're now in a complete understanding of where it came from and that it's fake. You know, people are getting sick because of a bioweapon that was manufactured by man and intentionally released out of a bioweapons laboratory overseen by the CIA, funded by U.S. taxpayers, controlled by the Pentagon, and released upon the world to force them into a shot that is not a vaccine, but that in turn is a bioweapon spreading this spike protein everywhere. But I digress. What are you going to do as far as legal counsel is concerned? What are they telling you is the outlook here, the success confidence, I guess, if you will, of this lawsuit?
Well, Lucas Wall, who I call our legal advocate, is really guiding us on this. And he's putting it on the fast track to try to get a quick reaction of this. In the meantime, we're just, again, like I said, talking with various media resources to get our word out. And again, the biggest thing is getting the word out, educate people on the ineptness of the masks, how it can hinder me from operating aircraft safety. And again, getting the word out to other fellow pilots so they can start giving pushback to the unions, their companies, saying, hey, this is not an effective way to keep our passengers safe.
How do people go and find you in this lawsuit and support it if they can, or can they?
Excellent question. So what I would do is I would do an internet suit search for Lucas Wall and Americans Against Masks Mandates. We do have a GoFundMe site to take donations to help with our legal fight.
Yeah, we hope that it doesn't get stripped away by these evil tyrannical oligarchs like they have done so many times in the past. Captain Schuster, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. You know, it's time for people to understand that these mandates are not falling for these pilots. This is a serious danger. Millions of people travel every day. That is publicly discoverable information. Go and look at the flight logs and the TSA. They post these numbers all over the place. Literally millions of people are in the air right now as we speak, and they are in grave danger if they're flying with pilots that are wearing these oxygen-inhibiting, useless masks.
Stu, if I could just paint one last picture for your audience, is just imagine a pilot up at altitude with an N95 mask on that's required by the CDC or his company, and there's an electrical fire or smoke and fumes in the cockpit. How well is he going to be able to detect that before it's irreversible?
Yeah, it's dangerous. Captain Schuster, thank you so much for being here. More of the Stu Peters Show in just 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them, individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. And they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids? No. Mask mandates for little Mikey? Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Support the resistance. Go to vaccinepolice.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccinepolice.com.
Number three. We are good to go.
So earlier this month, a lot of you may remember a post that I made on my Telegram channel. There was a lot of concern about the water and not to drink it. And there were certain things that I could say and could not say. And I referenced that certain people's lives might be at risk. And one of those people is here with me now, Dr. Brian Artis. Thanks a lot for being here.
This is actually going to be the only time I've ever been nervous in any interview. I'm not kidding. Like, I've never been nervous to discuss anything in relationship to the COVID pandemic whatsoever. But this has bothered me and has scared me.
People have lost their lives over what you're about to tell the world.
It all started with a text. The text read, "Hey, Dr. Artis, if you got bit by a rattlesnake, would you go to a hospital and get antivenom?" I cannot believe the amount of evil behind this pandemic with what I've realized since then.
If it's true,
that COVID could actually be... The easiest way to figure that out is, has that ever been fact-checked? And I wanted to know, was it ever in the media in China, was there ever any mention that the source could have been a snake?
And?
Oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Then I find out that there's an actual doctor who works at the University of Pittsburgh in May.
This is insane right here.
And he's been researching for 5 months, sequencing of spike proteins, trying to solve the mystery of SARS-CoV-2 victims. And he says he's got a big thing to, big press release, they're gonna actually announce all their findings. And Bing Liu is his name.
Setback in the quest to understand coronavirus after a researcher is shot and killed. 37-year-old Bing Liu was on the verge of making significant findings on COVID-19.
And then all of a sudden, the realization came that this is the great lie. When I say that they have lied to you about everything in relationship to COVID, they've even lied about the viral part of COVID. Could you ever have imagined that the one greatest symbol of evil in all of Christendom, what is the symbol of evil in Christianity? This is a part of why I think my spirit is so moved to make sure this gets out, is that I knew that God was telling me, you can't give up and you have to tell the world.
That is coming this week. I want you to know that I'm all over these people. There are thousands and thousands of pages of documentation to support what Dr. Brian Artis sat down with me for 3 hours and discussed. And putting that together is no easy feat, especially when you don't have the big pharma money to support you. We're not Fox News. I don't have thousands of producers just sitting around to put that together. This thing was supposed to originally take 10 days. That thing will be coming this week. I'm all over they are working every single minute of every single day to get that put together. We're at the end of the show here, which is why we're going to rush into this money minute because we can't miss it. Today, a big class that's happening for you for free. Carlos Cortez over at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com, and Carlos joins us now. By the way, brother, it was great to see you over the weekend for the Let's Go Brandon rally. You attended the VIP dinner, and then our families got together. Thank you for the treat. Carlos, for those of you who don't know, took my family, my kids, to the Lightning game against the Canes. The Lightning won in overtime. Great game. Despite being harassed by some woke security people or whatever. Get out of here. And then came over to the house, swam in the pool for a little bit. You got great kids and a great family and a serious commitment to your faith, which is why I tell people all the time, do business, especially when dealing with your financial future and your kids' financial stability. Do business with a like-minded person, you know, somebody who's an independent fiduciary like yourself, not these communists.
Yeah, Stu, it was awesome meeting you guys. And my kids literally cried when we left because they know you had to go back to Communland, Minnesota.
Yes.
And leave freedom. And leave freedom. Florida freedom. But no, I just wanted to share that that everything you've done for us, Stu, has been amazing. short of a miracle, nothing short of a miracle. Tonight, we're going to be talking about, you know, market manipulations, look for inflation. They're trying to jack around with inflation because we know there's only two options out of this nonsense financially. We're going either into a short-term recession or interest rates have to go up. And so pick your poison, and let's see how they're going to Ukraine the manipulation on Wall Street this week, because there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of serpents out there, a lot of serpents. We got to make sure we're listening not to a serpent, but to the truth.
Amen. AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. That is happening in less than 1 minute. You'll see that guy right up there. Valuable information. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it because we're the ones that's used to it. Pray for me because you know that I'm always praying for you. And it would seem like somebody is trying to kill the truth around these parts, maybe even physically. So you remember to fly low and avoid that radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!